I graciously ask Aubrey if he'd allow me to read our scriptures for this morning. I don't know how he got through the first part of his service. It made my eyes just tear up, and thought so many times it just gets into my heart. So when I was preparing for this Sunday, I had to go through many scriptures, and I got thinking about what does our life look like? What should it look like now that it's in ordinary times? So this is Trinity Sunday. In our morning service, we did remember. Through my message, I like us to celebrate the lives of those who have gone before us by the grace of God, so that we can have freedom, so that we can know these ordinary times and what he would have us to do. So if you'd open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This is Isaiah's commission. You'll find it, the Bible's in your pews, page 1068. And follow along as I read. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two wings they covered their feet, and two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds, they shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Our second reading is in the book of John, is the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. I'm certain you're all very familiar with John 3, but it's on page 1649 if you'd like to follow along as I read. This is Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Starting at verse 1, he says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Well, in reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' So how can a man be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." When Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And you should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher." And Jesus said, "And you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, what we speak of is what we know, and what we testify to, what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. For I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? For no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses was lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And finally, I would like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, which is page 1808 in your Bibles. As this is Paul's final greetings to the Corinthians. So in verse 11, Paul writes, he says, "Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind and live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the saints send their greetings, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity for us to gather here, to worship you, to remember those who have gone before us, for the freedom that you have provided for us. I'd ask you to once again be with us and make your spirit dwell among us here as we ponder your word so we might know your will and your will for our lives and how we are to just become like you in all ways. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So our message this morning, I started out and I got to thinking about it in my pocket. Okay, what do we need to talk about on this Memorial Day? And then I happened to think of the story of the guy who only came to church once a year. Anybody know anybody like that? Guy only came to church once a year, and no, it wasn't Easter when he came. It was always on Trinity Sunday. Well, there was another parishioner in the church, and he held off year after year asking this guy why he'd only show up on Trinity Sunday. And finally, he worked up the nerve, and he come up to him, and he says, "Why is it you only come on Trinity Sunday, not Easter or Christmas?" The guy looked at him and says, "Oh, that's easy." He says, "So what is it?" He says, "Well, I come on Trinity Sunday because I want to hear the pastor get all tangled up trying to explain the Trinity." And the more I thought about that, I thought, we need to understand what Trinity Sunday is all about to begin with, right? So I wrote it on from, just so we'd have a better and a clearer understanding of what Trinity Sunday is all about. Trinity Sunday, this begins the second half of the church year. Because the first half runs from Advent to Pentecost, right? And it's the second half, which we start this week, we call ordinary time. And what we do is we focus on doctrine. On Trinity Sunday, normally we just focus on what our doctrine is. What is doctrine? It's a set of beliefs that's taught by this church, right? That's what doctrine truly is. And so when I thought, thinking about this, I'm thinking, some people, they call this like the great hinge of the year. And others said it's just a great big pain. When I thought about this, I thought, instead of teaching about historical events, we're gonna teach about maybe what a person should be doing. But then I bore you to death. And the more I thought about this, I thought, well, you know, this is a big pain. Now we're going to go up there, and I'm going to start talking about doctrine, and people are going to think, what in the world? He's talking about theology, or maybe this is all theoretical. It gets real complicated, and it's just downright boring. So I thought this Sunday, in light of that statement, how I don't want to bore y'all, here it is, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I've said? Amen. Well, nobody left. Can't be too bored yet.
But I'm not going to deliver a lecture expounding on make us all theologians. But I do want to take a moment to look deeper at what our scriptures that we had today. Think about this. Now, we read Isaiah, and in Isaiah, he had a scary vision. You say, you think about this. This scary vision, he has this, and he says he saw the Lord, God in heaven, right? Well, at that time, they believed anybody who saw God, they were doomed to die. It was a sentence of death. It was a death sentence. Is what they believed. Because he said, I am ruined. He said, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. But then all of a sudden, everything starts to change. Because in verse 6 and 7, he says, Isaiah receives forgiveness from God. And he enters him as the Holy Spirit. And you say, I didn't read that in there. Well, that Holy Spirit that enters him is represented by the coals that the sapphire the angel took from the altar and touched his lips with. That is actually the Holy Spirit entering into Isaiah. And as we look a little bit further, then God says, who am I going to send? Who's going to tell these people about stuff that's happening in our world? Who's going to tell these people about my son to come? Talking about the third part of the Trinity. Because we saw the Lord God. We saw the Holy Spirit. And now he wants somebody to go and tell about the son that is to come. Who's going to tell them about the hard stuff that's going to come too? Because he says that in the next verse, if we were to read verse 9, it would say, he said, I want you to go out and tell people. So I want you to go and tell these people, hard times are coming, bad things are going to happen, and most of them won't understand why. We do see that today, don't we? It's really familiar. Bad things happen. And most of the time, we don't understand why. Because he wrote in that verse, he said, "But for they will be ever hearing, but never understanding, but ever seeing, but never perceiving." We have a lot of that going on today. In our world, we get lots of mixed messages. We need to find a way to sort them out. You know who had the same problem? Nicodemus. So when we read our story about Nicodemus, so he's a Pharisee, he's a member of the Jewish ruling council, he's brought up in the temple, and he would have known what was to come. He would have been taught that. Wouldn't he have been able to understand the Trinity? I mean, he spent most of his life learning doctrine. And yet, he was the same as we are. He was ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. You know, I'm thinking he was probably like a survivor of a shipwreck, of a story I read. And this guy, he's shipwrecked on this deserted island, and he's all alone. And he's a God-fearing man, and he's out there, and he's thinking, what do I do? So he scavenges the island, and he finally collects enough stuff to build himself a little hut and a place to store his provisions. And he goes out, and he grabs all the food he can, he collects it, he got a place to sleep. And the things are, he's surviving. But he's praying to God, says, God, why me? Why am I here? And no answer comes. So day after day goes by. One day he's out. All of a sudden, he's headed back and he sees his little hut and his little building there had caught on fire. And it's just a-blazing. And he runs back and he loses everything he had. And at this point, he gets really upset and he says, God, why did all this happen to me? What's going on here? Should I just go kill myself? And all of a sudden, he hears a horn. And he sees the ship coming to rescue him. Well, when they get there, the man asks the captain of the ship, he says, why did you come to get me? He says, well, we saw your smoke signal. God works in our lives in many ways that we don't understand, because we're ever seeing, never understanding, ever hearing, but never perceiving, really. I mean, when I think about this stuff, and I think, what is it that John really learned? Why couldn't he see it? He'd been trained all his life. He should know all this stuff, right? But I've kind of learned in ministry that I can talk till I'm blue in the face. I can set the example, but until God reaches you, until the Holy Spirit gets inside of you, you'll never change. You'll never be able to see, you'll never be able to hear and understand what God has for you in your lives. You know, there's an old adage that bad things always happen in threes. You ever find that to be true? Good things do too. I'm going to tell my wife. She's probably listening next door anyway. So the other day she had a flat tire. Computer crashed. Then she dropped one of her contact lenses and he went down the drain. She was not happy. Bad things happen in threes. Why is that? Why do bad things happen in threes? But you know, the other part of that is good things happen in threes too. They happen in bunches. They happen together. About what she went through on that day, I got thinking about God happens in threes, don't he? Our triune God. Think about this. We have a God. God the Father. He is the power, isn't he? We have God as a person. He is the Son as we know him, Jesus Christ. We have God as the Holy Spirit who is present in our lives. So when I thought about this and then I got reading Paul again, Paul puts them in a little different order. A little different perspective, because he says, so in his final letter, he says, in his ordinary time, he finally writes to these contentious Corinthians, and he puts a bit of it on. He starts off by saying, he says, in verse 11, he says, aim for perfection. Aim for perfection. How's he going to aim for perfection? If we know Christ, our first step, no matter how we understand eternity, how we understand God, is first we need to aim for perfection. I'm going to start with a story, and she isn't here right now, but Kaylee Sue came up to me last week after the service. She said, I think I was putting away my guitar or something after our special music. She says, I'm going to sing special music too. I'm getting ready. I said, really? I said, what are you going to sing? And she says, we're going to sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. I said, well, that's absolutely wonderful. She says, but we got to practice a little bit more. It's not quite perfect yet. And then I thought to myself, as I'm writing this week, I'm thinking, what was she doing? She's aiming for perfection, if I can get the words out. Aim for perfection. How do we do that? How do we aim for perfection? Well, maybe we're like the dad who got a little boy and wasn't quite an active little guy, so he decides he wanted to take a nap on the couch, but this little boy, he's just driving him crazy. He says, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you something to do if you let me sleep while you're doing it until you're complete. The boy says, okay, what am I gonna do that? And the dad, he takes the newspaper and he finds his map of the world on it. So he takes his map and he gets a pair of scissors and he cuts it into little pieces. He says, now, I'm going to give you all these pieces. When you get this puzzle put back together so I can see the whole world, he says, we'll go out and we'll do something else. We'll go play ball together or whatever. Dad figured he's going to get at least an hour's nap here. So the boy, he gathers up all the pieces. He goes out to the kitchen table, gets the tape out. And Dad, he lays on the couch thinking, this is going to be good. He no sooner gets his eyes shut, here comes this little boy. He said, "Dad, I got it done." His dad's thinking, "This is impossible. How could you possibly have this done already? It hadn't been 10 minutes yet." And the boy says, "It was easy, Dad. I just turned the pieces over and there was a picture of a man, and I put the man together and the whole world came together." Aim for perfection. Put the man together, the whole world comes together. What man are we talking about? You and I. We're talking about God. We're talking about the Trinity. And that's how Paul was looking at this. He says we need to aim for perfection. So how do we do that? We find the off button on the phone. That's all right. Aim for perfection. We're going to keep doing it. Verse 11, Paul says, he says, "So listen to my appeal." He says, "Be of one mind." In other words, he's telling us that our doctrine, our teachings during these ordinary times should be the same. We should all be of one mind. Just as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are of one mind. They act all in one accord in our lives. In every way, in everything that we do. In that same way, as I got to thinking about that, if we all work as one, which our country has done before, and I think of how many volunteers we've had over the years that have gone into service. I know in my family and many of your families and all those that we celebrated today, why did they become of one mind? Why did they go into service? Why did they volunteer themselves? Why should we as Christians volunteer ourselves to become of one mind? As Paul concludes, it says, "It's so that we may live in peace." He wrote, "Aim for perfection, be of one mind, and live in peace." Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we all strive for? So I'm going to leave you with this final statement. Just as he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Shall we pray? Father, I thank you and praise you for how you're with us today, how you've provided for us. I do pray that you'd help each and every one of us aim for perfection, be of one mind, so that we may live in peace. Guide us in all that we do, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.